I next met with Dr. Serge Verstovsek, and to begin, he commented on the important clinical issue of anemia in management of patients with MPN receiving ruxolitinib.
JAK inhibitors inhibit the JAK-STAT pathway. They are not specific for the JAK2 mutation or any other mutation. In myeloproliferative diseases and myelofibrosis in particular, this is the target because every single patient, regardless of genetic background, has a hyperactive JAK-STAT pathway. Now, in normal person, we need to have a JAK-STAT pathway activated occasionally when we need blood. So therefore, when you give a patient JAK inhibitor like ruxolitinib, you would expect to have a degree of anemia and thrombocytopenia because the JAK2 is specifically associated with erythropoietin and thrombopoietin. These are receptors for these growth factors. So in about up to 45% of the patients in COMFORT 1 study, there was a grade 3 or grade 4 anemia associated with ruxolitinib use in up to about 19% of thrombocytopenia grade 3 and 4. This is immediately seen during the first few months of the therapy, and it may result in the dose adjustments. Now, many patients with myelofibrosis are already anemic, transfusion requiring, or about to be transfused, and the issue is, how do you then combine the possible benefits of ruxolitinib in advanced myelofibrosis patients that has a bad spleen and a bad quality of life, which are likely, very likely to respond to ruxolitinib and already present or about to develop anemia in these patients when ruxolitinib is given? Now, what we know from recent publications is that the developing anemia or presence of anemia does not interfere with the benefit of ruxolitinib on the spleen and symptoms. The degree of a symptomatic improvement and spleen response is the same in patients that develop anemia on ruxolitinib versus those that did not. And most importantly, the ruxolitinib overcomes the anemia effect on the survival. In other words, survival benefit with ruxolitinib is equal in patients that develop anemia because of ruxolitinib or do not. That makes sense. It's therapy-related anemia. It's not disease-related anemia. On the other hand, in the control arms of these studies, particularly in COMFORT 1, when there was placebo at the beginning, there was an effect on the anemia that developed because of the disease on its own, on the survival, which substantiate anemia as a bad prognostic factors. But again, there is a difference between therapy-related anemia and the disease-related anemia.
Do you have any sense for how this issue is actually managed in clinical practice, particularly general medical oncology practice, or any things that you see people doing maybe they shouldn't be doing? Do you think people give up on the drug too early?
That's an excellent question. I think this is one of the major problems. I think in what we see right now in a community setting is that people recognize what the drug does. It is not for every single patient with myelofibrosis. It's not really even related to a risk of dying. It is for patients that suffer from symptomatic splenomegaly or general systemic symptoms from myelofibrosis, because these are the two aspects of the clinical problems that the ruxolitinib can actually significantly improve in great majority of the patients. If anemia is present, it may, and it does in some cases, interfere with the desirable benefits. What people do is they're afraid from that anemia that can be caused and may start with the ruxolitinib at too low a dose. Now, what we need to understand is, first, what I explained, that the anemia is not detrimental by any means. But if you do start with a lower dose, it is important to increase the dose of ruxolitinib in monthly increments. Let's say you start with 10 milligrams twice a day instead of 20 twice a day like you would otherwise by guidelines. And if you need to go up, you should go up in monthly increments from 10 twice a day to 15 twice a day to 20 twice a day to optimize the overall benefits and not worry too much about the anemia in first 3 to 6 months where all the benefits are to be seen. This has clinical connotations on overall outcome of the patients because the disease best response, and I'm talking about the spleen response, responds the best to the higher dose of ruxolitinib. The higher the dose of ruxolitinib, the better the spleen response and the survival. The survival of the patients is the best if they have a smaller spleen.
Is there sort of a tachyphylaxis to the anemia? You know, if you transfuse the patient, do eventually somehow they require less transfusions with time, or is it just persistent?
This is really good because the anemia being so prevalent and bothering people, and you can worsen it, right? And you have patients that are already so anemic, transfusion requiring. How do you treat that patients for the spleen and symptoms when you may worsen transfusion requirement? What we know is, based on a detailed analysis of patients from COMFORT 1 and COMFORT 2 phase 3 studies, that yes, the anemia develops, up to 45% of patients may have it, but there is a rebound in a red blood cell count over time. Over first 3 to 4 months, there is a significant rebound in red blood cell count, even in patients without the dose adjustments. I cannot really, and we were not able really to understand why that happens, but it does happen, and it reminds me of an experience with imatinib. Obviously, imatinib in different setting with chronic myeloid leukemia, where there is at the beginning some anemia, and then there is a rebound as the bone marrow reconstitutes from decreased malignant clone. We certainly do not talk about the same effect on the bone marrow with the ruxolitinib in myelofibrosis, but that's the best explanation I can have. There is a significant rebound in red blood cell count. Therefore, in everyday practice, I am not worried that much. I am worried to some extent, but not crazy worried about some anemia that may happen at the beginning. I like to maintain the dose at a higher level. I count on the rebound, and I do adjust if necessary, but I let the patients benefit from the high dose of ruxolitinib to decrease the spleen as much as I can for them to live longer.